Welcome to SCOTUScast, a project of the Federalist Society for Law and Public Policy Studies. Our contributors join us from around the country to bring you expert commentary on U.S. Supreme Court cases as they are argued and decisions are issued. The Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker.
Thank you for joining us for this post-decision episode of SCOTUScast. I am your host, Spencer Caron. On November 2nd, 2020, the Supreme Court decided Taylor v. Riojas, holding by a vote of 7-1 that the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit erred in granting qualified immunity to correctional officers sued by inmate Trent Taylor regarding the conditions of his confinement in a Texas prison. Taylor alleged that the officers knowingly confined him for 6 days in cells so grossly unsanitary as to violate the Eighth Amendment's prohibition on cruel and unusual punishment. He contends that the cells were covered in human waste, that he was forced to sleep naked in raw sewage, and that the high risk of contamination prevented him from eating or drinking for nearly 4 days. The Fifth Circuit rejected Taylor's challenge, reasoning that the officers were entitled to qualified immunity from suit because it was not clearly established by court doctrine that the specific conditions of Taylor's confinement would have violated the Eighth Amendment. The Supreme Court vacated the Fifth Circuit's judgment and remanded the case. No reasonable correctional officer, the court indicated, could have concluded that, under the extreme circumstances of this case, it was constitutionally permissible to house Taylor in such deplorably unsanitary conditions for such an extended period of time. Although the court's opinion was issued per curiam, it was noted that Justice Thomas dissented and that Justice Barrett took no part in the consideration or decision of the case. Justice Alito issued an opinion concurring in the judgment. Catherine Mims Crocker, Assistant Professor of Law at William & Mary Law School, joins us to discuss this decision and its implications.
On November 2nd, the Supreme Court issued a summary reversal in the case Taylor v. Riojas. This decision represents the first case since 2004 where the court has rejected an assertion of qualified immunity on the core issue of whether the defendant's alleged conduct violated clearly established constitutional rights of which a reasonable person would have known. Trent Taylor is an inmate in a Texas state prison. The defendants were prison officials whom Taylor alleged violated the Eighth Amendment by subjecting him to cruel and unusual punishment. In particular, Taylor alleged that over the course of 6 days, prison officials first put him in a cell covered floor to ceiling with feces and then moved him to a freezing cold cell with no bunk or toilet, where he had to sleep on a floor soaked with urine. Taylor sued the defendants under 42 U.S.C. Section 1983, and the district court held that the defendants were entitled to qualified immunity at the summary judgment stage. The Fifth Circuit agreed. Qualified immunity is a defense to claims for damages alleging constitutional violations. Under this doctrine, a plaintiff's case fails unless the right at issue was clearly established at the time of the events underlying the lawsuit. The Supreme Court first stated this standard in the 1982 case Harlow v. Fitzgerald. In a long line of cases since then, the court has treated this standard as very unfriendly to plaintiffs. In several recent cases ruling in favor of defendants, for example, the court has stated that qualified immunity protects all but the plainly incompetent or those who knowingly violate the law. The Supreme Court in Taylor held that the Fifth Circuit erred by upholding the grant of qualified immunity, which sends the case back down for trial. Taylor is important for two reasons. First, as I mentioned at the outset, the Supreme Court has not held that a plaintiff alleged the violation of a clearly established right since 2004. There has been an enormous amount of public backlash against qualified immunity this year, prompted by the movement for racial justice and police reform surrounding the killing of George Floyd in May. So many people should be interested in any possible shift in the Supreme Court's approach to qualified immunity. The second reason Taylor is important is because it revives the idea that a constitutional violation can be so obvious that qualified immunity may be inappropriate even without factually on-point precedent. The Supreme Court articulated this idea many years ago, but observers thought it no longer had much, if any, real meaning. At minimum, Taylor shows there's still some life left in that doctrine. In particular, the court quoted the 2002 case Hope versus Pelzer to say that a general constitutional rule already identified in the decisional law may apply with obvious clarity to the specific conduct in question. And the court stated that no reasonable correctional officer could have concluded that, under the extreme circumstances of this case, it was constitutionally permissible to house Taylor in such deplorably unsanitary conditions for such an extended period of time. The majority opinion in Taylor was unsigned. That's customary in summary reversals, which are cases where the court issues a substantive decision on the cert papers without merits briefing or oral argument. At just four paragraphs, the majority opinion's discussion was also very short. Justice Barrett, who had just arrived on the court, didn't participate. Justice Thomas dissented without opinion, and Justice Alito concurred in the judgment. Justice Alito argued that the case was not cert-worthy, but that if the court was going to decide it, the disposition was correct. In particular, Justice Alito said the decision turned entirely on an interpretation of the record in one particular case, and was therefore a quintessential example of the kind of case we almost never review. But it's worth noting that Justice Alito has approved of the court issuing fact-intensive summary reversals when qualified immunity decisions go the other way, stating that the court often corrects erroneous denials of qualified immunity because of the importance of the doctrine to society as a whole. That said, Justice Alito agreed with the majority's bottom line by concluding that a reasonable officer could not think that it was constitutional to place a prisoner in the filthiest cells imaginable for up to 6 days, despite the availability of other preferable cells or despite the ability to arrange for cleaning of the cells in question. Scholars, lower court judges, and now many more observers have called on the Supreme Court to reform its qualified immunity case law, which rests in large part on the contested notion that providing proper incentives for government action requires such broad protections. Only time will tell whether Taylor was a small departure from the court's consistent commitment to an extremely defendant-protective version of qualified immunity, or a sign of bigger changes to come.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. SCOTUS Cast is a project of the Federalist Society, a not-for-profit educational organization of conservative and libertarian law students, law professors, and lawyers, founded upon the principles that the state exists to preserve freedom, that the separation of governmental powers is central to our Constitution, and that it is emphatically the province and duty of the judiciary to say what the law is, not what it should be. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast series, including SCOTUS Cast and Practice Group Podcasts, on iTunes or Google Play. For an archive of past podcasts, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at fedsoc.org/multimedia. That's fedsoc.org/multimedia.
This has been a FedSoc audio production.